You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox from Bears Wire and Pro Football Focus, bringing you another dose of informative but entertaining Chicago Bears analysis. On today's podcast, we'll be previewing what is officially week one of the preseason, but of course, it is the second preseason game for the Chicago Bears, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday night. So we'll take a look at some of the positional battles that might be thrust a little bit more to the forefront, but also kind of what to expect from getting the starters back out there and how we can maybe avoid overreacting a little bit too much based on what we're going to see here in this preseason game. All in all, this podcast will get you ready with everything you need to know for the big, big preseason game against the Cincinnati Bengals. We don't know exactly how long starters are going to play, and certainly I don't think we're going to see a ton of, you know, the big name guys. You know, Mitchell Trubisky, I'm guessing we get a drive or two from, and you know, maybe we'll see Allen Robinson kind of knock some of the cobwebs out, although with he and Kyle Long still coming off of their offseason surgeries, I mean, they did travel with the team to Cincinnati, which is some indication that they could see the field. They weren't among the four players who did not. Those were Josh Bellamy, Isaiah Irving, Rashard Fant, and Deion Sims. So those guys will for sure not be playing in this game, and that pretty much makes everyone else fair game. So, you know, like I said, if I was the Bears, I don't think I would have a strong push to want Allen Robinson on the field. I mean, it's, again, just a preseason game. It's not even, you know, that third preseason game, and Kyle Long in that same category. Two guys that, you know what they are, and they kind of know what they're doing at this point, and no need to put them out there. But I am curious to see, like everyone, how Mitchell Trubisky handles this. And I think you're going to see, you know, like even his first preseason game last year, people will be looking to react strongly and have their hot takes on whether Mitchell Trubisky looks like a bust or looks like a, you know, dark horse MVP candidate this year with how well he came out. And, you know, you might remember last year, he and the Bears offense pretty well torched the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, I'm not necessarily expecting him to totally light him up this year because it's the preseason and, you know, both teams are only going to be trying so hard and preparing so much and really, you know, throwing a lot at each other. So, you know, I think we'll see some nice passes from Trubisky. I don't think we'll see the Bears push it too much. I don't think we'll see anything particularly close to how creative Nagy will be with the regular season offense. I think it'll kind of look a lot like what we saw with Chase Daniel, just perhaps with a more accurate and, I don't know if confident is the right word, but certainly just a better quarterback under center. And I mean, Chase Daniel was able to drive down and get a touchdown for this Bears team with Michael Burton in the end zone there. So, I mean, I think we'll see a pretty decent performance from Mitch. I mean, maybe he'll throw an interception and people will freak out, but he'll probably get a touchdown and people are going to freak out. But, you know, he'll probably also get a touchdown too. And, you know, along the way, there's probably 5 to 10 passes total from Mitchell Trubisky that don't really give you a lot to learn from and go off of as we kind of move forward. I'm expecting a similar type of thing with Trey Burton at tight end. You know, maybe he gets a target, maybe he makes a catch or two. You know, same with Jordan Howard as far as passing out of the backfield. Maybe he gets to have an opportunity to show off what his hands can do and shoot, throw Tariq Cohen in here. I don't know if we'll see Tariq Cohen do a whole lot of non-running back stuff. I mean, maybe they'll line him up at receiver once or twice, but you're not going to see them unveil any cool route combinations or plays off of motion or, you know, different types of matchup gaming moves and schemes from this head coach, just because you got to save all that stuff for the regular season. You know, I'm guessing we'll see those guys just in very kind of basic roles, and that's fine, and it's going to be a little bit less exciting in that sense, but I think that's sort of just part of the nature of the beast here. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll get to see at least, you know, some speed which will be fun with Taylor Gabriel potentially out there. If he's feeling back to closer to 100%, just having these rarer physical traits with Robinson's ability to go up and get passes and Cohen and Gabriel's speed, even if they're not doing quote unquote creative and innovative and, you know, fun things that way on offense, just seeing those guys, even if they get their hands on the ball in a screen or just Gabriel kind of just going deep on a nine route. I mean, none of that is giving away schematic things for the future, but it's just potentially fun ways we can get to see. So just these new Bears weapons start to take the field. And maybe as I'm saying all this, Gabriel won't play and Robinson won't play, and it'll kind of reduce the shine and the entertainment in that sense, but hopefully we can just see at least a few plays of all the pieces kind of coming together here, not necessarily cooperating in their full potential that we're going to see in the regular season, but just kind of getting a real basic glimpse at just generally what this offense might look like with these starters out on the field. We're previewing the Bears preseason game against the Cincinnati Bengals today on Locked On Bears. And, you know, we focused on the offense all there right away. Let's touch on this defense now. You know, going to see a lot of the starters, if not all of the starters. I mean, again, I don't know if I would have any reason to want Akeem Hicks on the field for a preseason game because there's really not much value he can get there. And then as far as Leonard Floyd goes, rumbling has been that he's been a little bit slow in, you know, getting back to 100%. So will the Bears put him out there for a meaningless preseason game against the Cincinnati Bengals? I'm not sure what to expect there, but with or without him, I think it'll be a nice kind of step at a more real look at this pass rush problem. Because throw Aaron Lynch here in this same category of they've been injured. So do you really want to put them out there in a preseason game against the Cincinnati Bengals? The first quote unquote week one preseason game here with three more to go and really, you know, two more that starters will play in. If they're out there, then we can kind of see a little bit more of what this quote-unquote full strength, in a loose sense of the term, full strength pass rush might look like. But if they're not out there, and it's, you know, Sam Acho and Kylie Fitz, you're probably looking at your top pass rushers. I mean, this is when you can start to really identify how much of a problem this is. You know, I mentioned earlier, Isaiah Irving was one of the players that did not travel with the team to Cincinnati because of injury. So, you know, that puts a lot more opportunity on Fitz. And then if Lynch is gone and Floyd and they don't play a ton, then you're looking at Acho and Fitz kind of being your guys out there. And boy, neither one of those guys is a top-end proven NFL pass rusher. Certainly, Sam Acho is a consistent and pretty solid all-around outside linebacker, pretty firm against the run, one of the better guys in coverage, just never a big sacks guy. And then Kylie Fitz, a sixth-round pick out of Utah, we saw him get to the quarterback in the Hall of Fame game, but he really struggled, I thought, in run defense, especially going back through the game the last couple days here just to look at a couple key players in positions like that. You know, he was blown out of the water a little bit a few times trying to, you know, take on any double teams and really just adjusting to, you know, that stronger NFL competition level where, you know, I certainly it was one game in Hall of Fame game against Ravens, you know, not putting too much stock in it, but just looking for some improvement there and just looking to see, boy, how much does this Bears pass rush struggle? Because it's very possible when you take on the Cincinnati Bengals that your pass rush might look a little better than it actually is. The Bengals offensive line is not good and was not good last year, and the Bears really kind of ate them alive, you know, in that, what was it, week 13-14 game down the stretch. And now, I mean, they traded for Cordy Glenn to try and hold down the left tackle spot this year, and he should be an upgrade over Cedric Abuehi from last year, even though that's not really saying much. And I know they're still trying to figure out the right tackle spot with, you know, their former second-round pick Jake Fisher has been pretty poor there. They've got this guy they brought in, Bobby Hart, but again, not guys that really scream consistency, you know, Hart coming over from the New York Giants, I believe, a guy that kind of rotated in and out there. So especially at those offensive tackle spots, the Bengals have not had consistency there. So maybe you'll see Sam Acho and Kylie Fitz look like potentially better pass rushers than they would be against more serviceable NFL offensive tackles. But if they don't, that raises perhaps an even bigger red flag when you're going against a very poor offensive line and you still can't get pass rush with, again, your sort of backup guys. But this is a kind of a real situation for the Bears that Leonard Floyd has an extensive injury history in his NFL career here. He has not played a full 16-game season yet. I know he's entering year three, but you know, consistently he has missed time, and Aaron Lynch is right in that same category. And realistically, even if those two guys were healthy right now, your chances of losing them for one or more games this season is high. And boy, this game could be a potential wake-up call for the pass rush. I know the pass rush got going last week against the Ravens in the Hall of Fame game, and there's reasons to be encouraged about the young guys stepping up and trying to provide more of that. But a lot of eyes on Kylie Fitz this week, with especially if we don't get much from Floyd and Lynch. Also defensively, plenty of attention to the Jonathan Bullard, Roy Robertson-Harris competition there. I mean, it kind of seems like Jonathan Bullard more or less has that thing, you know, not totally won, but it's his job to lose. You know, he didn't have to play a ton in the Hall of Fame game. And I guess Roy Robertson-Harris didn't play much more than him, but it was clear that Bullard is the starter there. Roy Robb is sort of the backup, but they're both going to be rotating and moving around the line in different positions. So the quote-unquote starter there is less important than just, you know, who's end up getting more snaps in the rotation. We're seeing a little bit more of an explosive Bullard. He made that nice play in the backfield where he just swooped the guy and brought down the running back for a loss, and I think he got to the quarterback as well, but who didn't in that game? And so, you know, as a whole for this defense, I'm just looking for this front seven to, you know, establish itself against a Bengals offensive line that shouldn't give it too much of an issue. That if this Bears defense is going to be a top 10 group again this year, and this front seven is going to try and, you know, lead that push again, then they need to be able to really hold their own, even in limited preseason action against the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you know, I go back and forth on it a little bit because, you know, Fangio's not going to be scheming up a ton of blitz packages, and, you know, he's not going to be looping guys around in too many stunts. I think you're going to see a lot of standard four-man rushes, which might be more beneficial to the offensive line. But, boy, this is, you know, it's still some level of barometer, especially when you're going against a potentially poor offensive line. Like I said, I mean, the front seven to me is where all the attention should go in this game. The secondary, we kind of know what's going on there. Kyle Fuller, Prince Mukamara, Adrian Amos, Eddie Jackson, four solid starters. Upside is there. Continuity is there. You know, young guys getting better and the veterans kind of coming back. There's not a lot of interesting storylines here with the starters, but the front seven is what I will have my eye on, and I think the Bears coaching staff will be eager to see how they handle these Cincinnati Bengals. Today on Locked On Bears, we're previewing Bears-Bengals, the Thursday night preseason game, the second one for Chicago, but still officially preseason week one. You know, we may only see the starters here for a few drives, but that's going to leave, you know, more opportunities for some of these backups. And I think we'll see, you know, some of the borderline fringe starters play a little bit more, you know, the Eric Cushes of the world. Throw Jonathan Bullard in that same category. Maybe we'll see more Nick Kwiatkowski as well, but just a couple of backup position groups I'm really keeping my eye on in this game. I mean, I think we talked about him before the last game, James Daniels, a guy that didn't play because he's been battling injuries, but now we'll probably see him filling in as the primary backup center, because that sounds like what he's been doing at training camp practices. Probably still play some guard as well, but really want to see where he's at, not only from a blocking standpoint, and, you know, I thought at Iowa, much better run blocker than pass protector, so I want to see how he handles, you know, making the calls from the middle of the offensive line and being able to kind of pick up you know, stunts and twists if the Bengals throw much at him. I mean, if he gets a chance to play it all against Geno Atkins, that would be cool, but don't think we're going to see much of that. And, you know, it's not as though Cincinnati has a ton of, you know, great standout depth at that defensive tackle spots. You know, Ryan Glasgow, their fourth-round pick from last year out of Michigan, he's a guy I'll be keeping my eye on. And, boy, they got Andrew Billings, too. But, you know, there's some decent talent, particularly young talent, that Daniels will have to go up there. But even just his snapping, that I think the word out of training camp was he was struggling with some shotgun snaps going a little bit high. And he played center in college, so it shouldn't be this new transition for him necessarily. But you wonder if mentally having to switch between guard and center will give him too much to think about. And maybe he's, you know, trying to set up the protections and know the play calls and know the terminology. And then, you know, the snapping is just kind of the last thing. And he just, you know, biffs it a little bit. Or, you know, we'll just kind of see how his development is, and especially to be able to compare it to Eric Kush, who should see pretty significant time in this game. We might get to see them match up with similar players, even if they're, you know, if Kush is at a guard spot and Daniels is at center, and then maybe they swap at some point, or, you know, Kush sits out the rest of the game and Daniels then gets some guard spot. I mean, who knows what Ronis Grassu is going to get as well. So curious to see how a guy like James Daniels holds up. Another second-round pick, I mean, Anthony Miller. And maybe we went through these same guys back-to-back in the last preview, but we didn't get to see him. And I think we'll get to see both in this game. That Anthony Miller, the standout of camp, the wide receiver everyone's talking about, let's see him do it against a real opponent, against a team with some talent at that cornerback position. William Jackson III, one of the best young corners in the league, but they've got a lot of first-round picks there with Dre Kirkpatrick and Darqueze Dennard as well, and they drafted Devonta Harris and Darius Phillips this year. So, you know, some rookie-on-rookie action I'm sure we'll get to see. Let's see that route running translate against real opponents. Let's see those hands continue to be strong, and let's see what kind of quickness and just that one-on-one ability to win for your quarterback. Let's see Anthony Miller translate that, throw Kevin White in that same category. But, you know, just kind of those guys competing for that, you know, third slash fourth wide receiver spot on the offense and showing them that they belong as a key rotational piece in this offense. I think everyone wants to see how Javon Wims follows up his performance. I think we'll see another few catches from him because he'll be going up against backups again, and he has the type of skill set that can win against inferior talent at the cornerback position, just being bigger and being able to win those one-on-ones. But I'm sure he wants to show more of his game. Benny Fowler also maybe wants to catch the passes he's thrown at this week, especially with Josh Bellamy out. He can maybe work on separating himself a little bit as a special teams player as well, just give the team more confidence as a potential Bellamy replacement at the end of the day. Maybe they both make the roster. There certainly could be room for both on the 53, but it's got to be a better week this week for Benny Fowler if he wants to have a long-term future here. Same with some of the backup offensive linemen. We talked about how bad Bradley Soule played in the last game. Would like to see better from him, especially because they don't have a lot of other offensive tackle talent on this team, and he's kind of locked in right now as your third tackle. Need to see better from him. And, you know, even Rashad Coward, I want to see how his development goes, and maybe get to see Earl Watford and Jordan Morgan some more and see some improvement there as well. But, you know, a lot of guys on this backup offense that I think, you know, throw Adam Shaheen in here too, that didn't get as many opportunities or didn't even see the field in the first preseason game, the Hall of Fame game, that we could really see have more of an opportunity in this game to show us what they can do. Defensively, I hope we get to see John Franklin III, the of Last Chance U fame, trying out that cornerback position, something he didn't play in his well-traveled college career across multiple positions in multiple schools. Throw Kevin Tolliver in there as well. A couple of undrafted free agent cornerbacks that have been injured and didn't play in the Hall of Fame game, despite that being the perfect type of opportunity for them to get on the field. Maybe we'll get to see some more of them. I know it's a pretty crowded defensive backfield, but I want to see these undrafted free agents separate themselves a little bit. Michael Joseph out of Dubuque played the most snaps of any defensive player last week. I wonder if they'll give one of the other undrafted free agents, which I guess would leave Tolliver and Franklin with Rashard Fant injured. I wonder if one of them will get sort of the bulk of the opportunities. That game one was Joseph's, game two might be Tolliver's, and game three Franklin's or something like that. We'll see kind of how the split goes there, but let's look for one of those guys to emerge. And even like a Duran Grant, who had that nice interception in the game, let's see if he can follow it up. I'll certainly, you know, I hadn't heard much about him before that play in that Hall of Fame game, and I'm curious to see if that was just a opportunistic one-time thing, or if he can really start to emerge here, be that preseason superstar, and maybe be the one that competes for that, you know, sixth cornerback spot, if it even exists. And then in that front seven, I mean, Joel E.A. Buniwe traveled with the team, so evidently he's not too injured to go, so maybe we'll get to see the fourth round pick make his preseason debut and let us in on why Ryan Pace was so excited about this guy and why he was really willing to put the foot down and draft another inside linebacker after taking Roquan Smith in the first round, who, of course, we will not see in this game. But, you know, besides E.A. Buniwe, with all the sort of young and unproven guys that got to the quarterback in that preseason game, I mean, I think we saw what Abdullah Anderson, Elijah Norris, Kevon Walker, of course, Bilal Nichols, the draft pick everybody wants to see, Nick Williams in there as well. You know, let's see if and how many of those individuals can follow that up a little bit. That, you know, maybe they were all kind of beaten on a bad Ravens offensive line, particularly in the backups, and they'll probably get a similar opportunity with the Bengals backup. So, you know, the guys that can do that two games in a row and then look to make it three games in a row next week, those are the ones that, you know, move up in the coach's eyes and move up in everybody's eyes and are the ones that are going to get the practice squad spots over everybody else. So, you know, particularly Bilal Nichols, because he's the draft pick and because we got to see quite a bit of him in the previous game, looking for him to kind of keep taking that steps. I know he missed a couple tackles in that game. Want to see him wrap up a little bit more, but, you know, there's encouraging steps forward from all of Ryan Pace's draft picks, rounds 1 through 7, which I think is nothing but a great sign early on for the young general manager, but certainly nothing that's ready to be written in stone yet. And with this preseason game, I mean, it's another opportunity to gauge the development of these players. And, you know, somebody's going to have a great game, and we're going to be talking about how he's earned his way into the 53-man roster already. And, you know, is this guy going to be a real factor on at his position group and all that stuff? And then there's going to be some guys that have bad games, and it's like, oh man, this guy is terrible and shouldn't be on the team. And I will again end up probably preaching, you know, let's not overreact too strong here. It's another preseason game. You know, if Wims has another big game, then you can start to say, okay, maybe we actually are onto something. And if Chase Daniels totally craps the bed again, maybe we can start to be a little bit more concerned there. But it's one preseason game. It's the preseason. I know we've been desperate for football for the last few months, but now that we're starting to get back in the swing of things, let's make sure we put everything into context here and be smarter consumers of Chicago Bears football. That's why you listen to Locked On Bears. That's why you're subscribed to Locked On Bears. Or if you're not, then you've made a mistake. You got to go fix it right now. Go hit that subscribe button on whatever app you're listening to, because I do this podcast to make us all more informed and hopefully entertained along the way, and just better consumers of Chicago Bears football. It's more fun. It's more enjoyable that way to watch the games. And I hope it makes it easier to bear down.